followed by confirmation. Today, as we look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 7, I'd like you to consider Noah, who worked by faith. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 7. The Bible says, "By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." Would you bow your heads with me for prayer this morning as we begin the message? Heavenly Father, please, we ask you in faith this morning, knowing that we have the Word of God, inspired, infallible, inerrant. There is no doubt or question that we have in our hands the perfect Word of God. And your Word tells us that it is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Your Word tells us that your Word will not return unto you void, but will perform that which you sent it to do. Lord, we know this morning that you've given your Word for correction, for rebuke, for instruction in righteousness, for reproof, that we might be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And we ask you this morning that you would accomplish that work in every life. Lord, whatever it is you're working on us with, that we would be drawn closer to Jesus through the power of the Word of God. Help me as I preach the Word, that I might do so not in word only, but in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance. Accomplish your work today. Save a soul. Edify the believers. And it's in Christ's name we ask these things. Amen. As we look to the Word of God this morning and see the example of Noah, who worked by faith, I'd like you to consider the three aspects of his work that was done by faith. Notice first of all here in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 7 that we learn that Noah heard God's warning by faith. By faith, Noah heard God's warning. Notice again what the Bible says there in Hebrews 11 and verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. The scripture records for us that God gave Noah a warning about a universal flood that was coming. God was working, he was preparing to send this universal flood on man because of his wickedness. But the Bible records for us here that Noah was warned of God. And that means that God made Noah the subject of communication with a divine message. Genesis 6 verse 13 says it very simply this way. And God said unto Noah. God spoke to Noah. Whether that was a verbal speaking that if someone else was around they could have heard too, or whether it was God speaking to his heart and mind, it really doesn't matter. God gave Noah a divine message that he was going to send a flood into the world. Because of man's wickedness, God determined to judge the world through this flood. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord as a man who honored God and walked with him. In Genesis 6, we read that Noah was a just man, that he was perfect in his generations, not completely sinless, but his character was a character of obedience to God. And he walked with God. So God came to him and warned him of this flood that God was going to send. Hebrews 11 tells us about Noah's faith. But the first way that his faith was demonstrated was that he heard the warning. Friend, God's voice speaks in this world today, but there are a lot of people who don't hear his voice. There is a vast difference, we know, of course, between hearing and not hearing. Have you ever spoken to someone who very evidently was not hearing? I don't mean that they were deaf and just physically couldn't hear. I mean that they weren't paying attention. You wanted them to be paying attention, but they weren't paying any attention. You were speaking to them, and perhaps they were even giving indication that they were paying attention. But it was obvious they weren't paying attention. It's recorded that President Franklin D. Roosevelt often felt when he would be in receiving lines at the White House that people didn't pay attention to what he was telling them as they were coming through the line. So one day he determined he was going to just make some outlandish statement and see if anybody responded. And sure enough, he's in a receiving line receiving person after person after person. And to everybody he said the same thing. I murdered my grandmother this morning. And people were responding, well, that's great. Wonderful. That's awesome. You know, things like that. And it just made the point. Here they were being received by the President of the United States, not paying attention to a word that he said. I believe I've told you before, there have been times I'm trying to speak to my children and it's very difficult to get their attention, especially if the TV is going and they're paying attention to that. They may even be responding, and not hearing a word. My friend, I want you to understand, just as there's a difference between hearing and not hearing, there is just as certainly a difference between hearing and believing and receiving, and hearing and not believing and receiving. Noah's faith was demonstrated in that he heard God. Not just that he heard what God said and then shrugged his shoulders and went on with his life as if nothing had been said. He heard God in that he believed and received what God had said. Hearing God is stressed in both the Old and the New Testaments. You can go throughout the Bible and see examples of this stress about hearing God. Hold your place in Hebrews 11. Look with me at an example in Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 3. Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 3. Jesus Christ, as he's beginning the revelation of himself to John, says these words in verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that what? Hear the words of this prophecy, and what? Keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. In Revelation chapters 2 and 3, seven letters are written to seven churches who were in existence at that day. The truths and the principles given to them can be applied and can be learned from to every church in every age of history. But at the end of each letter, in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, the end of each letter ends with the same words. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. We need to be attentive to the Word of God. Not just that we hear, but that we believe and receive. It's been said that good listening is like tuning in to a radio station. For good results, you can listen to only one station at a time. We don't use radios in and of themselves as much nowadays. But if you've ever been trying to tune in a radio station, if you ever had that experience where you think you get the dial turned to the right space, but you're hearing two different things at the same time, wow, it is difficult, isn't it, to be attentive to anything that's being said by either one of them, isn't it? It's difficult if you're hearing some understandable words, but hearing the static at the same time, isn't it? Very difficult to be attentive. For good results, you can only listen to one station at a time. Trying to listen to my wife while I'm looking over an office report is like trying to listen to two radio stations at the same time, isn't it? If I'm going to be attentive, I've got to put the work aside. I've got to turn the game off. I've got to put the newspaper away. I've got to put my phone or my tablet away and give her my undivided attention. Friend, hearing from God is no different. He still speaks today. Hearing him requires an intentional choice to shut everything else out and focus your attention on him and what he has to say. We live in a world full of noise, don't we? Full of noise. Distractions are everywhere. We turn our eyes. Many times we often also turn our ears to all the noise around us. But if you would hear from God, you must choose and commit to hear from him. I'm not biased, or I'm not saying this in pride. But friend, I believe when you come to this place and hear the word of God preached, God is speaking. If you don't hear his voice, perhaps it's because you're not hearing. When you sit down with your Bible and you take time to get into the Word of God, if you don't hear God speaking, perhaps it's because you're not hearing. Pastor, what do you mean by that? Maybe it's that you haven't shut out all the other distractions. Friend, it's going to be difficult to come to the house of God and hear the voice of God when you come in with a million distractions. I know life is busy. I know this world is full of noise. But you have got to make an intentional choice and commitment that when you come to the house of God, you're going to shut all the other noise out and expect to hear from God. And make up your mind that when you hear from God, you're not just going to shrug it off and walk away, but you're going to believe and receive what you hear from God. That's what Noah did. He was warned of God. He heard. He believed and he received. Friend, God still can and will speak to you through his word when you spend time with him. He still can and will speak to you through the teaching and preaching of the word if you are prepared to receive from him. Let me ask you today, what can you do or change in your life to simplify hearing from him? What can you do or change in your life to simplify hearing the voice of God? Maybe you need to change your routine before you come to church. I don't know what your routine is. Maybe it's your routine to spend time watching television before you get on the road and come to church. Maybe it's your routine to argue with everyone you come in contact with before you get in the car and come to church. I don't know what it may be. Maybe you need to change the routine so that when you get in your car and you drive to church and you walk in, most of you come in this door or that door, wherever you come in, you are ready to hear from God. And maybe when you take your Bible and you sit down to read the Word of God, you need to change your routine so that when you sit down and you read the Word, you are ready to hear from God. By faith, Noah heard God's warning. Notice secondly this morning, by faith, he heeded God's warning. Noah heard, he believed and received God's warning, but by faith he also heeded God's warning. Friend, let's not miss it. It's amazing to me as I study the Word of God how it's coming together, isn't it? Confidence followed by conviction. Trusting what God had said, believing it, followed by obedience. he heeded. One Bible scholar put it this way: Noah was warned of something that had never happened before. Think about that. There'd never been a flood, certainly never been a universal flood. There are those who tell us that before Noah's flood, there had not even been rain in the world. We don't know that for sure. Regardless, God told Noah, "Noah, I'm going to do something I have never done before." Noah's faith was shown in not merely agreeing that the flood would come. Okay, God, yeah, I believe you. But in doing what God told him to regarding the flood. Real faith will always do something. Real faith will always do something. Remember, friend, we are talking about authentic faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Authentic faith, not meaning you're really saved. Authentic faith, meaning as a saved individual, you live by faith, not by sight. That's what authentic faith is. Noah had real faith in God. And so when God spoke, he heard the message and then he did something about it. Heeding God's warning, heeding God by faith, was demonstrated in three aspects by Noah. First of all, consider the prompting. Consider the prompting. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 7 again. The Bible says, by faith, Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet, what's the next phrase? Three words. Moved with fear. Moved with fear. Noah heard God's warning and he heeded God's warning. Obeying God's warning was motivated, was springing out of his faith, prompted by his fear of God. The phrase here literally means that he had a proper reverence of God. It gives the idea that he took care with regard to God's command. In other words, Noah's character was, when God speaks and when God gives a command, I'm going to be very cautious. I'm going to take great care. I'm going to be, let's use a Bible word, circumspect, to be sure that I take care with regarding God's command. His character in life was to be attentive to and responsive to God's commands. When God spoke, he was careful to listen. When God finished speaking, he was careful to contemplate and do what God had said. Hold your place in Hebrews chapter 11, and I want you to look with me at Ephesians chapter 5 for just a moment. Paul gives this same type of thought here in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. Notice Paul commands us, "See then that ye walk what? Circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." There's a great connection between the prompting of Noah and the exhortation of Paul here in Ephesians chapter 5. We're commanded to walk circumspectly in wisdom, to redeem the time, to understand what the will of the Lord is. And my friend, obeying that command, those commands, as any of the commands of Scripture, can only be accomplished through being attentive and responsive to what God says. Think about a parent instructing a child again. If the child is being distracted or does not have the right heart, the parent's instruction can be misunderstood or just simply disregarded. But in either case, the parent's instruction is misapplied. In other words, the child may hear. They understand what's been said. But if they disregard what's been said, they're not going to obey, are they? They're not going to follow through. The point is this: real faith doesn't just hear God's warning, but it heeds it. The hearing is followed by obedience. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. My friend, hearing is not enough. Obedience is necessary. And obedience follows hearing when you're moved with fear. when you have a proper reverence for God. Consider the prompting. Consider not only the prompting, but the preparation. There in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, the Bible says Noah was moved with fear, but then it goes on to say he prepared an ark. We read it in Genesis 6 and verse 22. If you carry on in chapter 7, you'll find that three more times, so four times total, the Bible records for us that Noah did all that God commanded him as God commanded him. Noah heard God's warning. And God told Noah, here's how you need to respond to my warning. Judgment is coming. Noah, here's what you need to do about it. You need to build this great ark. And then you need to get the animals together and get them on the ark. Four times the Bible says Noah did all that God commanded him as he commanded him. Now I want you to think about this for just a moment. God commanded Noah to build one of the largest, if not the largest, wooden ships ever made. Do you know that? You can go back in history, and if you compare the size of the ark to what history tells us about many of the wooden structures that have been made throughout history, God told Noah, I want you to build this wooden vessel that will float on the water as this flood comes. And it was one of the largest, if not the largest, wooden floating vessels ever created, ever made. Noah had never seen a universal flood. Possibly Noah had never seen any type of localized flooding. And possibly Noah had never even seen a drop of rain. And God told him to make this massive floating vessel on dry land. In other words, friend, here's the point I'm trying to get across to you. It didn't make a lot of sense. Noah could not perhaps completely comprehend what God was saying, why he should respond to God this way. The size of the ark is just an amazing thing. The Bible gives us the dimensions there in Genesis chapter 6. God told Noah exactly how large it should be. By the way, just as a side note, God knows exactly what he's doing. Science records for us that the ark could not have been much larger than it was and still possibly float. It's an amazing thing. If you take the measurements that the Bible gives to us, records for us about the ark, God gives him the measurement in cubits. We don't know the exact length of a cubit. Many times we take just an average standardized length of 18 inches, but actually a cubit is simply the length from the tip of your longest finger to the tip of your elbow. So for me, a cubit is actually 20 inches. For Stephanie, it's about 16 inches. Brooklyn was really excited when she saw Daddy measuring fingers to elbows, so she wanted to be measured. Her cubit's only 10 and a half inches. But there were some standardized measurements throughout history. I personally take the view that the cubit that Noah would have used was approximately 20.4 inches. If that was the case, the ark was over 510 feet long, over 85 feet wide, and over 50 feet tall. This was just a massive, incredibly huge structure. Yet Noah did what God commanded him to do. It didn't completely make sense. He'd never seen anything like this. That's why Hebrews chapter 11 says, prepared an ark to the saving of the house by which he condemned the world, after God had warned him of things not seen as yet. Noah had never seen anything like this, yet he obeyed God. Here's the point, friend. Remember that God desires complete obedience, even if there is a lack of understanding. You may not completely understand what God has said. It may not make absolute sense to you as God speaks to your heart through the preaching, the teaching of His Word. It may not make absolute sense to you as you get down and study the Word of God for yourself and God is leading you a certain direction. It may not make sense to you that you have lived as an adult, working a job for years, and suddenly God calls you to the mission field. May not make sense. May not make sense to you that God leads you in a particular direction, a particular ministry opportunity for Him that seems outside of your comfort zone, maybe even outside of your skill set. May not make complete sense to you. But friend, God desires complete obedience even if it doesn't completely make sense. Noah's obedience, his heeding God's warning, is seen as we look at the prompting, the preparation. Thirdly, it's seen as we consider the product. Beyond the obvious, the Hall of Faith describes the product of no obedience by faith as this: the saving of his house. The Bible says he prepared an ark to the saving of his house. I want you to think about that for just a moment. It was Noah that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The Bible doesn't say anything about Mrs. Noah, his sons, or their wives. It was Noah who was a just man and perfect in his generations. The Bible doesn't tell us that about Mrs. Noah, his sons, or their wives. I'm not saying that they were not those things. I'm simply saying this morning that the Bible records for us specifically that that was true of Noah. The Bible records for us that God spoke to Noah. As far as we know from the scripture, Mrs. Noah didn't hear God's voice. Ham, Shem, and Japheth didn't hear God's voice. Mrs. Ham, Mrs. Shem, and Mrs. Japheth didn't hear God's voice. Noah heard God's voice. And he obeyed God. He walked with God. He heard the voice. He was just. He was perfect in his generations. He walked with God. But my friend, it was Noah and his family that got on the ark. We observe this truth in relation to Enoch and his demonstration of authentic faith. And the point, again, is simply this: do not forget that your life of authentic faith will have a profound influence on those closest to you. That was true in Noah's life, and it will be true in yours. By faith, Noah heard God's warning. By faith, Noah heeded God's warning. Finally, would you see this with me? By faith, Noah heralded God's warning. I want you to think very carefully with me this morning about that truth. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5 tells us that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Preacher is a simple word that means that Noah was a herald. He received God's message. He heeded God's message, but he didn't keep God's message to himself. He proclaimed it to those around him. 1 Peter 3 and verse 20 gives evidence that Noah preached throughout the time the ark was in building. We do not know for sure. The Bible doesn't record for us how long it took Noah to build the ark. It was evidently a long period of time. It would have to be for a structure that large and a very few people working on it. And during that entire time, Noah was proclaiming God's message to those he came in contact with. I'm sure there were those who came, saw what Noah and his family were doing, and questioned him. I'm sure there were those who, as Noah gave the answer, that mocked him. Yet throughout that entire time, Noah continued to proclaim the message of the day. We understand that by this truth, Noah decried the wickedness of his day while declaring the salvation of God. Noah spoke against the wickedness of his day while declaring God offers salvation. Listen to what God said to the prophet Ezekiel, Ezekiel 3:16 through 19. And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Noah had heard God's warning to destroy the wickedness of man, and he was a faithful watchman in his generation. Noah will not have the blood on his hands of any one of the millions who perished during that flood because he preached. Brenton, can I ask you this morning, is that true of us? I've heard the word of God. As Noah did, I know that God's judgment is ahead and could come at any time. Don't you know that this morning? Have you heard the word of God? Do you know that God's judgment for man's wickedness is coming? Oh, it's not coming through a universal flood as it did in Noah's day. God said, I'll never do that again. He gave his promise. Every time you see a rainbow, that is the pledge of God's promise never to flood the world again with rain. But my friend, just as surely as you and I sit here today, God's judgment against man's wickedness is ahead and likely is coming very soon. When God raptures his church out of this world, that will begin a period of tribulation judgment, which the Bible proclaims, if God would not shorten those days, no flesh should be saved. We've heard the word of God, his warning. We know his judgment is ahead. And like Noah, we have been chosen and consecrated by God to be a watchman to decry the wickedness of man's sin and to declare the salvation of God through Jesus Christ. We've been chosen and consecrated. Not just me. We. All of us. Not just the preachers. Not just the pastors, not just the missionaries, not just the evangelists. We all have been chosen and consecrated by God to speak against the wickedness of man while declaring his salvation. Let me give you a few thoughts about being a faithful watchman in our generation. Noah wasn't his. Let me give you a few thoughts about how we can be in ours. First of all, get sincere about your faith. This is an outflow of authentic faith. If you believe and receive the word of God this morning, if you believe the word of God and you believe that judgment is coming and you believe that man will spend eternity in hell if he rejects the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you truly believe that, my friend, authentic faith will do something about it. Get sincere about your faith. Noah experienced rejection, but the rejection was not due to hypocrisy on his part. In other words, it wasn't that people said, no, I know you, and you don't really believe this stuff. Noah, you claim, can I bring it to today's language? Noah, you claim to be a Christian, but your life tells me the opposite. Noah, you tell me about this God, but no, I don't believe in God, and it's because of you. In the falseness of your life. Your witness for Christ will certainly suffer if you are not a person of authentic faith, primarily because you won't be busy sharing it. Secondly, get sincere about your faith. Secondly, get started with your family. The Bible tells us again in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 7, that Noah prepared an ark to the saving of what? His house. I have no question this was true of Noah. God spoke to Noah, not to Noah and his family. It was Noah who heard God's voice. Mrs. Noah didn't. His sons didn't. Their wives didn't. But when Noah heard the voice of God and heard God's warning, his first order of business was to reach his family. And friend, here especially, it is crucial that you are sincere about your faith. Consider a Bible example with me for a moment. Noah was real about his faith. He lived it. And so when he heard from God and went to his family, they responded. But think about another Old Testament man. A man who also heard God's warning of judgment. A man who eventually even heeded God's warning for himself. Who is it you think I'm talking about? Lot. You remember the story of Lot? He took his family to Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah was the hub of wickedness in the day. And God had told Abraham, I'm going to destroy this place. And Abraham went through that process of, God, what if there's 50 righteous there, all the way down to 10? And God said, I'll spare it even for 10's sake. You know, it's a sad truth. God still destroyed the city. You know what that tells me? God couldn't even find 10 righteous people. But God did send his messengers to go and get Lot and his family out. They came and they gave Lot the message. You know what the Bible tells me? In Genesis 19:14, Lot went to his sons-in-law and shared with them the message of God. And do you know what the Bible tells us? Lot seemed to them as one that mocked. Ha! That's funny. That's a good one. Genesis 19:26 tells us that Lot's wife became a pillar of salt when she looked back behind her and saw the city. You say, friend, Pastor, that was her decision. I know it was her personal decision, but I also have no question that Lot's testimony influenced her decision. Do you? Genesis 19:30-38, Lot's daughters became pregnant when they caused Lot to get drunk and committed incest with him. Pastor, what are you trying to say? Lot lost his family. It wasn't because he didn't hear God's message, he did. It wasn't even because he didn't heed God's message, because at least in that instance, he did get out of the city. But he had not been a man of authentic faith. So his family had no time to listen to the warning. They each had individual accountability before God for their decisions of their own free will. But Lot is accountable to the Lord for his poor testimony that influenced their decisions. Friend, listen to me very carefully this morning. If you've heard God's warning, you know that it's true. You better strive to be obedient to the Lord and live a sincere faith. Otherwise, you might find that you're going to lose your family. I wonder today if we are more like Noah or Lot. Many of us have lost spouses, lost parents, lost children, lost siblings, and other near relations. Friend, if you don't care enough to be a herald of God's warning to them, who will? The best opportunity your lost family has is to see you living an authentic faith. Thirdly, and we'll conclude, get sincere about your faith. Get started with your family. Thirdly, get soul conscious about your fellow man. Do you know, we have a problem as believers of viewing our fellow man in the temporal sense of time here in this world. We see them as just the waiter or the waitress at the restaurant that we're never going to see again. We see them as just a cashier at the store who we're really irritated with because they're moving too slow or because they weren't real kind to us and they didn't treat us the way that we thought they should have. We get really uptight about the person who cut us off on our way to church, and or the person that we're behind who's driving 2 miles under the speed limit and we're trying to get somewhere. We get really frustrated and agitated about things that we see going on in this life, here in this world. And we are so focused, even as believers, on the temporal sense of this world. And rather than viewing people that way and being focused that way, we need to view every individual as someone who has an eternal soul that will spend eternity somewhere. Why is it today that we can easily have a conversation with someone about politics, about sports, about food, about recreation, vacation hotspots, work? We can easily converse with people about those things even when we don't agree. We have no problem arguing with someone about work, about politics. No problem getting on social media and posting stuff that is contrary to other people's opinion as it relates to politics and where we stand and where they stand. We have no question trash talking about our team over someone else's team. No problem. But we as believers struggle to converse with someone about our Jesus who died for our sin, saved us from a godless eternity in hell, and assured us of a home in heaven with him. Why is that? Maybe, just perhaps, the problem is a lack of authentic faith. I don't know for sure. But maybe that's the issue. I wonder if we, by faith, are faithfully heralding God's warning and his message of salvation full and free. Today, the invitation is simply this: does your work, what you're doing, demonstrate authentic faith? If not, let's determine to get more serious and spiritually minded about it today. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen yet, moved with fear, confidence, he believed God, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, conviction, obedience, by which he became heir of the righteousness which is by faith, confirmation. My friend, this morning, again, the invitation's simple. Does your work demonstrate you're an individual with authentic faith? You're here this morning and you'd say, Pastor, God is dealing with my heart this morning in one or more of these areas. God is convicting me about the truth of his word. Would you just simply raise your hand? I'd like to pray for you this morning. Pastor, God's dealing with my heart about one or more of these areas this morning. Would you pray for me? See those hands. Friend, in just a moment, as the invitation's given, you've heard what it is. Maybe it's your hearing of God's word today. Perhaps it's your heeding of God's word, or maybe it is your heralding of God's word that God is dealing with your heart about. I don't know, but whatever it is, you have an opportunity this morning to come to the Lord, respond in obedience to him. Would you be a person of authentic faith? Father, help us now as this invitation's given. I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would accomplish his work. The word has been preached. Help us to respond in obedience to you. In Jesus' name, with heads bowed and eyes closed.